You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. We have a significant update and really a flip-flop. This is no surprise. The Saudi Arabia's monarchy has announced that, yes, the journalist was killed. Now, the story is a fight broke out and the journalist was killed. Where's the body? That's the question. Where's the body? Now, I predicted that they were gonna have at least one person, probably several, be the fall guy, and justice will be quick, and they will execute them, chop off their heads. But will the person responsible for this, if we ever know who that is, face justice? I don't think so. You don't send 15 people from Saudi Arabia to Turkey. They go to the consulate. I don't think they were there 24 hours. I don't know if someone did a clock on them, but they killed him. Whether it was an accident or not doesn't matter. He was killed. Now, someone could resist, but when you have several people and you have 15 here, it doesn't mean all 15 were in the room, but at least a few were. They can hold him down, beat him up, and that's probably what happened. Or it could have been a murder from start to finish. Once they got him in a room away from the rest of the staff, they can cut his throat, shoot him. There are numerous ways to do it. So I never thought we were going to really find out what really happened. Now, there's an investigation, and a number of people are arrested. More than a dozen are arrested. And at least now they've gone more than halfway that, yes, he was there, and he did not leave the consulate alive, which means he was murdered. We're dealing with a homicide here that initially was going to be covered up. And I think only for the fact that the United States sent a Secretary of State and said, this isn't going to work. We want a complete, thorough investigation as to what happened. Did we have a complete, thorough investigation at what happened in 911? Not really. I know we had a commission, and virtually all of them were Saudis, Saudi citizens. And the American people remember that. And Saudi Arabia needs an ally in the Middle East. It's been a very long-term ally of the United States. But what happened when we had in the 70s in terms of oil? First with Iran under the Shah and then under the Saudis. They did what was expected then. They jacked up the price. And that really had a lot of dislocations in terms of the United States. But that's ancient history. Now we're all friends. Well, not really. It's an alliance of convenience, an alliance of convenience. And what makes it really inconvenient is when these thugs, and these are thugs, these are murderers, cold-blooded murderers, really thought they could get away with it. But they committed the unpardonable sin. They got caught. Now, this wasn't going to lead to the overthrow of the king or the crown prince. You always have, as you do in the United States, in any government, deniability. This was a covert operation planned out and executed, and a Saudi citizen, he's not a U.S. citizen, even though he's a permanent legal resident in the United States, he wasn't a U.S. citizen. Some people have said he was, and forget about this journalist nonsense. He was a propagandist in Saudi Arabia supporting the regime, and he had a falling out, and this was his mistake, with the crown prince. Does that mean the crown prince or the king ordered the hit? That's what we're talking about, murder. You'll never be able to prove it. It's always closely held. This was terribly botched, though. It was way too visible. Too many people came in. And the last place you really want to do a hit like this is in the consulate. This is incompetence, folks, as well as murder. This is sort of right out of The Sopranos, if you think about it. They were thugs, murderers, too. And what's very disappointing about this, the left in this country, especially the Democratic Party, are trying to use this against President Trump. President Trump is a victim of this as much as anybody because he deserved a lot better. This is real politics, folks, though. And the Saudis and the princes, the royal family, want to maintain their position in that society. And they will do whatever it takes to make sure that their regime is not overthrown. And remember, they're keepers or guardians of the Mecca and Medina. So in the coming weeks, I don't think it's going to be a matter of days, but I do think it's weeks. There'll be some confessions, some written statements, and one or more people will be charged. And I think a few of them, not necessarily all of them, but a few of them, most likely will spend either a lifetime in prison, but more likely face execution. Justice will be swift. Because like I said in the previous show, dead men tell no tales. So we've made progress. Remember, he was killed on October 2nd. So it took not quite 3 weeks, a little over 2 weeks, before we learned more. And I think the only reason why you're learning anything is the fact that the President of the United States sent the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. And I really think the Saudis and the regime had no choice in the matter. They would rather this go away, but denying it simply wouldn't work. There were too many, let us say, inconvenient truths, like his fiancée was waiting for him outside. He was only supposed to be in there maybe an hour, never came out. No one saw him alive after that. But I'm going to ask the question and repeat the question, where's the body? Where is the body? See, that detail is left out. Did they chop him up, put him in some small boxes and buried him someplace? In Turkey or elsewhere? This is not going to go away. And there will be a certain amount of spectacle involved because they believe, I'm not necessarily against this, in public executions. And they chop off your head. So somebody, and I think it's more than one, is going to be executed. People have already been fired and arrested. But a process has to be carried out. And the United States and Saudi Arabia has to put a good face on this. But before we all cry tears and throw rocks at the Saudi regime, there are upwards of 200 nations, slightly less than 200 nations in the world. More than half, you wouldn't want to be in that country. It's corrupt. It's run by, let's say, evil people. You really don't want to live there. You certainly don't want to visit. And it's fundamentally corrupt. But corruption is not new. We have corruption in the United States. And we have large nations, whether it's Russia, Communist China, North Korea. Oh, you have corruption there, and you have people being executed. You see, they don't allow dissent. That's the key thing. And Americans, especially those who have never been outside the country, don't understand that. In many countries, you got to keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, you might find yourself in prison, in jail, maybe even tortured, and might spend a long time in prison or be executed. Or not even go through the formalities. We live in a relatively free country, although we're no longer number 1, 2, 3, or even 10. We're getting more free, though, than when we had President Obama in office. There's an organization every year, I think they call it the Freedom Index, that indicates where are the freer countries. What's sad is the United States should be number 1, it's not. I really don't think it's in the top 10. I could be wrong. I didn't check it out. But there are many, many nations where you're living under a dictator and you have varying degrees of freedom. Sometimes you have economic freedom, but you don't have political freedom. And the regime, whoever they are, do not tolerate dissent. They don't like to be criticized. They're fearful that people will speak out and organize people in protest. I don't think you're going to see many protest marches in Saudi Arabia. Now, I'm going to get off this because the only detail is they're now admitting it. The reporter, and I keep saying reporter, he's not a reporter. He wrote an article or two for the Washington Post. And I think he was promoting the Muslim Brotherhood, and he fled the country. I keep asking myself, whatever possessed him to think he was going to be safe in a consulate? I don't think he was going to be safe in Turkey. And a simple fact is, if someone that's very powerful, very wealthy, where money is no object, wants you killed, you're going to get killed. That's just the reality, folks. Presidents of the United States have been assassinated, and you'll be surprised how cheap life is. So this is not a public relations success for Saudi Arabia, just the opposite. And we have not heard the last of it. Don't be surprised if there is not a documentary. And I really would like a thorough airing, because I don't really think we know enough about, first of all, the person that was killed and what was the motivation behind it. He was very visible in Europe, especially in Turkey. Now, they want you to give the impression, well, you know, he's a progressive. Someone said he's a progressive. I'm saying he should be a suspect. He was a propagandist for the regime, the Saudi royal family. And what happens is they become attached to, paid for by, one or more of the princes doing their bidding. So don't get the impression. I don't condone at all what happened. And I think a lot more needs to be known. And I'd give them 2 to 4 weeks to do their investigation and proceed to court. This needs to be completed. You need closure. And those that engaged in murder should be brought to justice. I have my doubts. I think you're going to see one or more fall guys. And the key is, was this so-called accident, and I don't believe that, by the way, or did one or two people were assigned to kill him? They could have shot him. They could have slit his throat. They could have poisoned him. There are a lot of ways to kill, but they felt safe in the consulate and killed him. Does that mean you should support this gentleman? No, but you should demand, as the President of the United States has demanded, as our Secretary of State has demanded, a complete, thorough, detailed investigation, followed by a prosecution. And if found guilty, which I think one or more will be, most likely one or more will die. But keep in mind, there are higher ups that, if they didn't authorize it, condoned it. People knew what could happen, and it did. Now, there is a story, and I couldn't believe this. I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi at all. I wonder how she ever got to be speaker. But she's ambitious, and she doesn't brook opposition. And she was being interviewed by Paul Krugman. He's an economist. Shared the Nobel Economics Prize, not the Peace Prize. And she was being interviewed, and here's what she said.
We have to have total clarity about what we do when it comes to everything, a woman's right to choose, gay marriage. Well, we didn't pass a marriage equality, that was in the courts, but hopefully that will be protected. But we passed other LGBTQ legislation, whether it's about immigration, whether it's about gun safety, whether it's about climate. We didn't even talk about climate. I was talking to Ed Markey when I was coming over here, talking about wanting to establish, again, a select committee on climate, and with the storms and the rest, increased interest in it. And he said, remember that what we said was we wanted to pass an overwhelming number of jobs in order to protect.
You don't pass jobs. I think this lady is losing it, but let's continue. I want you to hear the whole context.
All of our society. I mean, this is about prosperity. As your former mentor,
yes,
won the Nobel Prize, showing the relationship between environment and prosperity.
For people who don't know, Bill Nordhaus, who shared the Nobel Prize and won it for his work on climate economics, was my original mentor. I was his research assistant when I was a junior in college. So, anyway, so yeah.
He mentored well, didn't he?
Anyway,
your mentor mentored well.
Well, let me say something about Paul Krugman. He's a very good writer, and that's where I stop, because I don't believe what he's saying. So you can be a good writer and persuasive, but if you don't know the whole situation, you're going to be fooled. He is very much a liberal Democrat, and he was predicting the stock market would crash once Donald Trump won the election. Well, don't take his investment advice. He was a good economist on international trade, I will say that much. But his books, he sells a lot of books, but very few people that truly believe in free markets listen to him.
So this is...
I think that we owe the American people to be there for them, for their financial security, respecting the dignity and worth of every person in our country. And if there's some collateral damage for some others who do not share our view, well, so be it, but it shouldn't be our original purpose.
You want to hear it one more time? I want to play it back slowly. It's the collateral damage comment.
For them, for their financial security, respecting the dignity and worth of every person in our country. And if there's some collateral damage for some others who do not share our view, well, so be it. But it's
who don't share her view? That's the majority of the American people. We went from deplorables with Hillary Clinton to collateral damage. What is she doing? Putting a hit out on the American people? This is how clueless this lady. Now, I don't take her serious, but she might be the next Speaker of the House. I doubt it, folks. The closer we get to Election Day, I think the Republicans will definitely control the Senate, and high probability, better than 50-50, will control the House. And the reason is very simple, and it's going to be the next story on the caravan. The American people, the majority of the American people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, want the invasion of this country stopped. You don't have a right to become a U.S. citizen if you make it to the United States. You see, what's happened is the Democratic Party is now out of the closet. They're for open borders. At one time, they weren't, folks. At one time, it was the Democratic Party insisting on immigration law being forced. That was years ago. Now they want to do away with ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, responsible to enforce immigration law. And if you disagree with them, if you dare disagree with them, you're collateral damage. We can do what we need to do to you. What's the context of collateral damage? And it's a terrible word to use. Usually it's, for example, when someone's firing artillery at a target or dropping bombs on a target, they miss and they hit so-called collateral damage, the next house. Instead of shelling and killing the enemy, whoever that enemy is, oops, we just took out a house. Now, in time of war, that happens all the time. There is collateral damage. War is hell, and innocent people get killed. And once that shell, for example, leaves an artillery piece, or a bomb leaves an aircraft, where it goes, it might not hit what it's directed at. But the past Speaker of the House, maybe the future Speaker, I don't think so, though. She's getting up there, and I know there are a lot of Democrats would wish that she would retire. She doesn't want to. She likes the spotlight. Every time I listen to her, I wonder, is she losing it? Well, I think the answer is because this insults the American people. It should get a lot of attention. It probably is only going to get a day or two. I couldn't believe anyone could be that tone deaf to use that phrase referring to anyone that disagrees with them. Anyone. Any American citizen. See, they're more concerned about getting power by letting all the illegals in and giving citizenship to them once they're here. They've gotten so arrogant, so out of touch where the American people are, they actually, many of them, and I think I will include her, think they have the majority position when it's manifestly true they don't. They don't. The American citizens want the invasion, multiple invasions of this country over the last 30 years plus, where tens of millions of illegals have broken into this country. They want it, first of all, stopped, and that includes this caravan that's approaching from Honduras. But they want all the illegals that are here, illegal aliens, that is the legal technical term for their status. They're illegal aliens. They broke into the country. They did not present their papers at an inspection point. And it's not 11 million It's somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 60 million. That's why the Democratic Party welcomes all, if you can get here, we're going to make you a citizen. That's what the Democrats are offering. And what the American people are saying, wait a minute, whose idea is this? It's certainly not the majority of American citizens. I dare say 80% of the American people want all the illegal aliens to go home. And the only exception they make is the so-called dreamers. I don't make that exception. If your parents brought children when they broke into the country, the whole family should go home. The family that gets deported together stays together. We're not going to break up families. We're going to take the whole family. That's what needs to be done. The American people want the laws of these lands obeyed and enforced, and that includes immigration law. Now, the Democrats, they can go on and on about open borders and granting citizenship. What they want is citizenship for all the illegals, because if they can accomplish that, I always say game, set, match. The game's over with, because that will give them an advantage in most states, not all states, but most states. You'd have an additional anywhere from 30 to 60 million voters. Not immediately, but once they get citizenship, they vote. And the betting is that 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4 will vote for Democratic candidates. And that once that happens for the next 50 to 100 years, then the Democratic Party can do the United States what they did in California. They made it, for all practical purposes, a single-party state. It's not that there aren't a few Republicans, but they don't have really any power, because the majority, by a wide margin, is Democrats. And that state is going bust. The education system is failing. The colleges are failing. They're running out of money. And no one wants to bail them out, period. The only way the Democrats can get that majority is to legalize all the illegal aliens that are here. They're, in essence, replacing their voter base. And they have to do it because many Democrats are leaving the Democratic Party. What you need to understand, the biggest party affiliation today is independent. Anywhere from a low of 40 to a high of 46, 47, 48% are independents. They're not Democrats anymore, and they're not Republicans anymore. They are sick of both parties, and I include myself in it. I left the Republican Party. I wasn't active in it, but I would vote largely Republican. I'm in Texas. But in 2006, I threw up my hands. I said, what's the difference? There are differences, but both parties are big government parties. And there's a big wake-up call. A day of reckoning is coming because we're running out of money. We're massively in debt, not only the national debt, but unfunded liabilities to pay for Social Security, Medicare. And now the Democrats are saying, well, we'll make Medicare available for everybody. Well, who's going to pay for this? That never stopped us. We just go into debt. No, you can't just do that. And let me tell you something. The senior citizens will make sure it not happen. See, if the Democrats want to go full left, and that's exactly what they're doing, they will continue to lose election after election after election. And this statement is the arrogance. It's the arrogance, and it's also the ignorance. It's like thinking you have a winning hand, a pat hand. You can't lose. Yet they lose after lose after lose. If you notice the run-up to the election, as it gets closer and closer to election day, suddenly the blue wave is turning a little pink, red, and they could maybe not win the House. Let me make a prediction. The Republican Party, and I'm not a Republican, but they will continue control of the Senate for sure and the House most likely. It's better than 50-50. You see, big lie media, the television networks, wanted you to think for the last year that it's a midterm election, and usually in a midterm election, the party that won the previous election, the Republican Party, loses seats. A few to many. This might be the first time, not that the Republicans won't lose some seats, but they'll lose a lot less than the Democrat in their wishful thinking thought. And as a result, I think the Republicans will maintain the House. No one knows. You got to get out the vote. And I'm staying home. I've been a little bit on the fence, but I'm in Texas. And although I support Ted Cruz, I'm not a Republican anymore. And Ted Cruz is a small minority in the Senate and the House. There are less than 100 elected representatives and senators that are truly believe in limited government. Most of them are big government. They're part of the big government crowd. And it's not one party, it's two wings of the same party. And that's why independents are the majority. Their problem is they don't have a party and they don't have candidates. So they have to, every 2 years, they have to decide, well, should I waste my time and vote? I don't. And the lesser of two evils is still evil. What you need to do is stop complaining about it and organize another party that truly believes in a constitutional republic, a representative constitutional republic, believes in balanced budgets, believes in reforming our tax code, doing away with the income tax, replacing it with a broad-based consumption tax. And neither party wants to go there. Eventually, this collapses. You cannot continue piling on debt, more and more debt. See, what eventually happens, and it's happening already, just the normalization of interest rates. In other words, where we have the federal funds rate somewhere between 3 and 5% is going to increase the carrying cost of what? Interest. And that's just a taste of what's going to happen. Because the people that lend money to the government, and it's not just the United States government, any government, they want a return on their money, commensurate with the risk. And it's getting riskier and riskier because anyone that can do the math says we'll never be able to pay the debt. There's no attempt to even doing it. What we're doing year after year after year is piling up more and more debt, burdening future generations. As far as I'm concerned, that's immoral, but that's what's happening. And voting either Democrat or Republican doesn't solve it. These are incompetent people. No sense of urgency, no sense of what needs to be done, and certainly no leadership. The problem with Congress is they have a leadership deficit, whether it's the House or the Senate. These are a lot of talkers that don't look at reality. And the reality is we're spending, government spending is out of control. So if you vote Democrat, they just want to spend more, tax more, spend more, and the Republicans want to spend and borrow more. That's the only real difference, and it's really not a difference. It's just a different way to finance it. So I was amazed that Nancy Pelosi said this, and if they continue down this road, they'll continue to lose election after election until they finally realize, you know something? I don't think we are the majority anymore. I think we're the minority. Now, they're going to win in states such as New York, California, Illinois, where they have the numbers, where you have liberals. Not in the whole state. There's still people that believe in fiscal responsibility, but they're outnumbered, just like Congress today. That's the point I'm trying to make. If you're waiting for the Republican Party to charge in a white horse and solve the financial problems of the United States, you're dreaming. These are the very people, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, that caused the problem. It didn't suddenly happen. This has been going on really since World War II, and it's getting worse and worse, and there's no way out other than default. I don't think we're going to technically default, but not really default. We'll try to paper it over, kick the can down the road. Well, the can now is the size of the Empire State Building, actually bigger. I wanted to play, getting off of this, I'm looking at the time, a little bit of Donald Trump. President Trump was in Mesa, Arizona, at one of his massive rallies, and I want you to hear some of it so you get the flavor of it. He is going to be in Texas next week, and we'll play a lot more of that, but I want you to at least hear a little bit of it. I'm skipping to around the 20-minute.
You think this happens to the average president? No way. And every single time, I hope you're enjoying yourselves. You can turn the cameras back on. I won't say anything bad, I promise. Now, when they think I'm ready to say something bad, all those red lights go off, you know, just... Now, turn them. I'm going to leave you alone. After 9/11, Martha McSally heroically led airstrikes against radical Islamic terrorists. Very successful. But while Martha was bravely fighting the Taliban, Kyrsten Sinema said she had no problems with Americans defecting from our country to join the Taliban. How does that happen? Seriously, how does that happen in Arizona? Explain that one to me. Sinema made these comments even as courageous American service members were giving their lives in the fight against enemy Taliban forces. Kyrsten Sinema also embraced a left-wing radical who was convicted of providing material support to terrorists. This is what you want as your senator? I don't think so. I don't think so. And as you know, and as you just heard, Kyrsten Sinema voted strongly against tax cuts. Now, not because she believes that, but because Nancy Pelosi told her to do it. That's all it is. Nancy Pelosi doesn't believe it. And Maxine Waters told her to do it, too. And so, she doesn't believe that, but they told her to do it. She'll do whatever they tell her. She voted for Obama's amnesty, and she voted against the border wall. She wants to let poisonous drugs pour into your communities, and that's where they're coming, right through. Sinema voted to support deadly sanctuary cities, and Sinema joined the shameful Democrat mob attacking the great Justice Brett Kavanaugh. He will be great. He'll be a great Supreme Court justice. And a vote for Kyrsten Sinema is a wasted vote, but more importantly, it's a dangerous vote because it's for Schumer, Krajicek, for Pelosi, and for Maxine Waters. If you don't want radical Democratic mob to control Congress, vote today. Get out and vote before the Senate. You don't have to wait. Vote for Martha McSally. It'll be one of the best votes you've ever cast. It will be the second greatest vote you ever cast. The first greatest vote was for me. Me. Now, when you cast a vote for me, you cast the vote for you, too. It's us. Because we have, and they never question me on this, I say it all the time, we have the greatest movement in the history of our country. Never happened. It's never happened before. And we're doing great, the greatest president. Thank you. I like him. But look, who said that? Thank you, man.
Now, I want to interject something, because occasionally Trump gets on this movement part of his speech. Well, a movement is not a political party. The Tea Party was a movement, but what happened? Both parties, primarily the Republican Party, tried to co-opt it and did enough co-opting. Have you heard of the Tea Party lately? They're still out there. There's still that grassroots support. But the independents, they're independent means they're not registered Republicans and they're not registered Democrats. They've left both parties. They're tired of the lies, the deception, the corruption, and the lack of results. The American people want the immigration issue addressed. They've been wanting it for over 20 years. This is not new. It really started a couple of years after the first amnesty under Reagan. And Reagan admitted it was the worst mistake he made. It was only supposed to be not more than a million will get citizenship. Nearly 3 million did, 2.7 million. Now, if you believe the propaganda of even Fox News and the television, there are 11 million. There have been 11 million now for years, decades. It's not 11 million. It's somewhere. No one knows. It's top secret. We can't really tell the people that there are tens of millions. There's anywhere from 30 to 60 million. And the American people have been demanding to enforce, all they're asking is to enforce immigration law. That means removing and deporting all the illegal aliens that are here. Is it happening? Well, a tiny bit is. President Trump made sure that the priority was to go after the real bad guys, the felons, and he would call them the criminal aliens. And there are criminal aliens. I mean real felons, bad guys, bad dudes. And I agree with the president. Get them out of here. Send them back wherever they came from. But at most, that's maybe 2 million, 3 million tops. Because most of the people that have come here, they came here to work. They're hard workers. But they didn't come here legally. The United States has a process for those that want to immigrate to the United States. I'll be the first to say it takes 10 years plus. And we don't open the borders and say, if you can get here, you're free. Doesn't work that way. We have laws on the books, and it's very clear if you don't present your papers for inspection, in other words, you break in and then live here and work here, you're still an illegal alien. You're a criminal, even if you haven't been arrested. And that's what the American people want. There needs to be a movement for enforcement of the immigration laws. But it's not going to happen as long as you rely either on the Democratic Party, that's a lost cause, because they want to give citizenship to anyone that can make it here. The only real exception, well, maybe a murderer, but even them, they're kind of squishy on that. And the same is true with the Republicans. They want to do it by upping the number permitted each year from 1 million to 2 million to 3 million. It's not going to happen, but that's what they really deep down like, because they get the big contributions from all the employers that rely on, yes, the illegal aliens. See, as far as I'm concerned, they're all criminal, illegal aliens. The law should be enforced, and it's going to take at least 10 years, if not 20, if we have a president with a will to enforce the law. And it's certainly not going to happen unless we build the wall, the barrier. I call it the big, beautiful barrier. And I always use the example. Let's say I come home tonight and my house is flooded. It has 2 to 3 inches of water in it because the major pipe froze, busted, and now there's water all over. And I've had that happen. It's not a pleasant situation. What's the first thing you do? I remember one night I heard an explosion and a pipe bust. I went out in my underwear looking for the turnoff valve. And then I spent the next couple of days cleaning up the mess. And I got on top of it fairly quickly. If I wasn't home, I would have been completely flooded out. That's the same thing that's been happening for the last 20 to 30 years. What's happened is more and more illegals. Initially, most of them came from Mexico. Upwards of 80% plus. Now they're coming from not only Mexico, but Central America, the Caribbean, South America, and other countries. And it's not just through the Mexican border. Many of them, no one knows the exact number, but upwards of 40% or more, maybe even 50, come here perfectly legally. They come with a visa to do business in the United States, or go on a vacation in the United States. And some don't need a visa. Let's say you come from Europe. But it's assumed by the United States government that after your vacation is over or after your visit to the United States, your business is finished, and after you've gotten your education, your college education, you will return home according to the terms of the visa. It's not open-ended. It's not a situation as get here and you're home free. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work in any country in the world that truly has a nation. You got to protect your borders. We do not have open borders. And it's not just breaking in and within a period of years, you get citizenship. If you continue to reward illegal behavior, what do you get? You get more and more and more illegal behavior, crime. And it is a crime to work here without having the legal status. That is a felony. And it is a crime for employers, whoever they are. Many of them are governments, local governments, county governments. The U.S. government hires illegal aliens. Go to one of these college campuses. See who's cleaning the toilets, doing the maintenance. Contractors are. That's how they get around it. Well, we don't hire them. We contract that out. There are many ways to get around the law, and that's what's happening. And the American people have had enough of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party not representing them and stopping this invasion again and again. Now let's continue with President Trump. His movement is really not a movement. He likes to say this. Oh yeah, he has his supporters, but if he doesn't build that wall and have it completed in the next 2 years, he's really going to start losing his supporters and in the process lose the next election. And he might not even get nominated. He better build that wall, and he better get on it quickly.
Thank you. We're working hard. We're working hard. Democrats in Congress have already signed up for a socialist takeover of health care that would eliminate the private health insurance of 3.4 million Arizona residents. You know about that. And it's going to destroy our country, and your taxes will be tripled. The Democrat plan would destroy Medicare and terminate Medicare Advantage for over 500,000 Arizona seniors who depend on it. Democrats' plan to kill Medicare Advantage is especially unfair to Hispanic Americans, of which we have a couple in the room, right? Couple. We're doing very well with Hispanic Americans. Doing very well.
That's an important point, because indications are more and more blacks, more and more Hispanics are going to be voting Republican. Why? The economy is doing well and could do a lot better. But if you have the lying, lunatic, leftist losers win, we'll have a repeat of Obamacare. That was a disaster. Medicare is not the answer. The answer is work in the private sector. Work for yourself, ideally. Work for a group, an employer that offers you and pays you not only a good wage, but also an excellent health care coverage. That is the way you earn insurance coverage.
Because you know what? They want safety at the border. They want great jobs. Remember the last election? Well, he won't do too well with the Hispanic vote. Did we do well or what? They're still trying to figure it out. And remember they said, oh, but he won't do well with women. Did we do well with women? We did well with women. They haven't figured it out yet, but they're trying. Are you trying? Do you continue, or do you just want to play this game? Do you want to keep playing this game? One out of every two Hispanic seniors is enrolled in Medicare Advantage, which they're going to destroy. Republicans want to protect Medicare for our great seniors who have earned it and they paid for it. And Republicans will always protect patients with pre-existing conditions.
I don't want to get into this, but no. You want to be part of a large group, then pre-existing conditions is not an issue. I used to sell a lot of group health insurance. And there were no questions. It's not like individual coverage. Group coverage, especially larger group, you just sign up. There's no questions to answer. There's no pre-existing condition. Because a lot of times the businesses are either self-assuring or sharing. And who's administering the plan is the insurance company. That's for larger companies. Smaller companies, there's a sharing of risk. You could have a serious health problem. But when you, for example, join an association or an employer that has many people, there are no health questions. And the reason I'm making this point, many people don't understand the pre-existing condition is a problem with individual coverage. Because then you better be healthy or you won't get the individual coverage. That's why many people with health problems work for larger companies. And they don't move. I wish he wouldn't make this the centerpiece. I know why he's doing it. It's strictly politics. The answer is to join. Senator Rand Paul was advocating this, but he's not the only one, and it wasn't his idea. You can join a large association. If you're part of a large association, they don't ask you any health questions either. They accept you. Why? Why? It's you don't have to be a genius to figure it out. If you're an insurance company, you'd like to insure more people than rather less. And they know if they were to start asking specific questions to screen out people for, let's say, cancer, heart attack, serious condition, they wouldn't sell. They got to compete. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's the key. Competition is the key.
They're trying to put a false narrative out there. And if there is a Republican out there that doesn't, let me know. Him or her. We'll talk him into it. We're going to protect pre-existing conditions. Just put it down and bank. Remember?
I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. Thank you for listening. And now, my favorite song, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.